Well, good morning, everyone. How's everybody doing? Good, good. Good spirit in here. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you so much for your love. I think often we take it for granted that you're with us every day. That your word says that you reign on the lost and the saved. That all things were created by you and for you, and you hold all things together in your hands. And even when we don't acknowledge you, you take care of us, Lord. You're still gentle with us and patient and kind. And you overlook, Lord. Well, you don't overlook anything, Lord. But you have made a way in Christ Jesus so that we do not have to get the punishment that we deserve. And instead, what we get is love. It is so good to be loved by you. There is none like you, Father. And we're thankful to be here in your midst. Thank you for your people here today, the body of Christ. Lord, I thank you and pray that our worship was a sweet-smelling aroma to you, Father. Pray that you bless the message and bless our fellowship afterwards. Let us have a day, Father, that we get to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, like I said, I wasn't here last week. I didn't get to hear Sterling, but I'm sure it was really good. I was going to tell him thank you, but he's not here today. But we're coming to the end of our baseball tournament, so I won't have to miss too much anymore, I think. I want to recap. 2 weeks ago, I preached on the topic of walking with God. Walking with God. And we'll just kind of go over that, and then I'm going to do a short message so we can get to Eden. But I was really excited about preaching a couple weeks ago on walking with God because it occurred to me that I have a lot of good friends, and I will say seriously, not in this church, outside of this church, that love God, but I would say don't walk with Him. And my goal was to kind of get you guys to see what it means to walk with God and what that's supposed to look like. Not that I'm the expert on it, via biblically, I wanted to see what it looks like to walk with God. We read Micah 6:8, where he says, I have showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you, but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. What a great scripture. How many of you know he wants to walk with you every day? I said last week that that God is a person, and that you have to see Him as a person. You can't deal with God as some far-off, distant figure that has a bunch of rules and regulations that you must obey or He's going to smite you in some way. You can't see Him also as somebody that you just deal with on Sundays and maybe a Wednesday night Bible study. He doesn't want that from you. He wants an everyday relationship with you. I likened it to me loving my sons or my wife that I don't have to remind myself every day to love them. I don't have to get, when I get up in the morning, I don't sit back and say, now what am I supposed to do? Oh, I gotta love Wyatt. I gotta love Luke. I gotta love Jack. I love Arden. I gotta love my wife. Those don't even occur to me. Do they occur to you? With your family members? People that you love? Of course they don't. They don't. But I do have to do that often with God, it feels like. I have to remind myself, I need to read the Word. Oh, I got to do right. And I think that God wants us to get to a place where we treat Him like we would treat our children or our spouses or our parents. People that we just, it just flows out of us. And I encourage you to think in your own mind, is that how you're dealing with God on a daily basis? Do you wake up in the morning and say, good morning, Father? Do you have breakfast and you're thankful for it? Do you go to work and you meditate on Him day and night? We read Psalms 1 where David said, blessed is the man who meditates on God day and night, who knows His law, who understands the Word, and walks with Him. He said, if that man will be like a man who's planted by the river, his roots will grow deep. He'll succeed in everything he does. God's desire is to be father to you, a good father. And He wants to interact with you in that way. And He wants you to walk with Him. We spoke about Adam and Eve and how God's original intention with man is seen in Genesis in the garden where he builds a beautiful garden for Adam. The Bible says that he breathes life into Adam and he takes the man and he sets him in the garden. And he built this whole thing for him. And then he comes back and he starts to teach him about what trees and plants are good for food and what's not for good for food. And he's just interacting with him and talking with him. The scripture says that he would walk with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. When they sinned, they heard his footsteps and they knew that it was him. He was interacting with them all the time. And as I read that, I got revelation and thinking, that's God's original intention to be with us like that. That there would be no hindrance between us and him. That he would just deal with us just like, again, like I might deal with Wyatt or Luke at work every day. How's your day, son? You doing okay? Yeah, Dad, can you help me do this? Sure. That's the interaction that I think God had with Adam. Of course, it was much better with him being father. But he interacted with them, and that was his original intention. And then sin came into the world and marred it all. What was the first thing that Adam and Eve did when they got caught in their sin? What was the first thing they did? They ran. They ran from him, and they hid. First time ever that they had done that. And you hear the footsteps walking through the garden. And he says, Adam, where are you? Let me tell you, this is probably the saddest day in human history. Where are you? We're hiding from you. Why are you hiding? Because we're naked. Who told you you were naked? It's a sad, sad story. That's what sin does to us. You understand? It's why it had to be paid for in blood. Because it's so nasty in what it does to you. It keeps you from your Creator, from the one who made you and has purpose for your life. It keeps you from that. It tries its best to keep you. Sin marred everything. But then the second Adam came in Jesus Christ, bore all of our sins so that we could live like Adam and Eve again. We could hear his footsteps in the garden. We could hear him in the morning as he walks into our home. You know, in Revelation, the scripture says that Jesus walks through the churches. Read it, Revelation. He walks through the churches. He could be walking in here right now. He walks with us. He wants to be with us. And we have that opportunity right now. We have that opportunity. What holds us back, I think, is a lack of knowledge, a lack of desire, not understanding the scriptures correctly, that our sins truly are forgiven and that there is no longer a barrier between us and God. We can now come to him just like Adam and Eve did. We can hear everything that Adam heard and there's nothing against us. Do you believe that? In order to walk with God, that has to be in your foundation, that your sins are forgiven. That there's nothing against you. And just like I said earlier, his love surpasses your understanding. So all of your sins that you think are keeping you from God, it's only you thinking that. It's never been him. Sin can't keep you from God. You understand that? Jesus conquered sin and the grave. You're free. You're free to interact with him like Adam. Jesus said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. He walked with him every day. And in every way. It was God's intention to walk with us every day. He wants us to be dependent upon him every day. Your body and your life and your spirit and your soul and your mind were created to work with him every day. Removing him from one day of your life is like removing oxygen from your lungs. You will not function correctly. I said it earlier in my prayer, he's kind to the lost, where he still rains on them and feeds them and takes care of them, but you're not getting him. Walking with him, you're able to be with him in every way, every day of your life. You have that opportunity, and that was given to us, again, by Jesus Christ, and I want you to want to walk with him every day. Do you want to? One of the things I named was desire. You gotta want it. You've got to want to know him like that. You've got to see him as a necessity in your life. A desperation to know him. Understanding who he is to you. I gave you 4 points that I thought, helpful hints, that I thought would help you to walk with God. Do you remember what they were? They were, know the scriptures, number one. So this is for walking with God every day. Praying, learning how to pray, meditating on God. Loving people. I'm going to preach on this soon, but if you want to walk with God, you better learn to love the person next to you. Because he's in the business of loving people. That's what he does. I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say, well, I love God, but I don't love people. Or I love God, I don't love the church. Well, you're not getting anywhere with God. You hear me? Hear me? You won't get anywhere with God like that. Because he's in the business of loving people. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You better learn to love people, and you better learn to forgive people and serve people. We better, because that's the business he's in. If you want to walk with him, that's where he's going. He's going to be loving people into his presence. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second one is like it, to love your neighbor. Everything hinges on that. You hear me? Bill Murphy taught us so well about the hinge. Everybody probably who's been here more than 10 years at least knows about the hinge, that you can take a huge bank vault and you can put it on hinges and take two fingers and open it because it's hinged correctly. Think about what Jesus is saying here. He said, all the law and the prophets, everything written in here hinges upon two things, loving him and loving people. You can simplify your life and your walk with God by just remembering those two things and walking it out. Is this love? Am I acting in a loving way? Am I loving him? Am I being loved by him? Love people. Be filled with the Spirit is number 4. Be filled with the Holy Spirit, which I've already gone on for weeks and weeks about the Holy Spirit before. I love the Holy Spirit, and I think it is one of the most misunderstood and probably one of the most missing links in almost all Christians' lives. I'm not even saying necessarily maybe in this church, but everywhere I go, I hear the Holy Spirit being maligned, misunderstood, and I've said it before, but you know that Satan works overtime on trying to make people think that the Holy Spirit is weird, and that it's uncomfortable to be around him. Charles Simpson used to always say, if you want to make somebody uncomfortable, get in an elevator and say, Holy Spirit, and watch what happens. But he is everything. You remember my sermon? That was the title. The Holy Spirit is everything. All of these things above it, all of these things above, the 4 points, knowing scriptures, praying, loving people, is not possible without the Holy Spirit. Are you filled with the Holy Spirit? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Are you walking in the Spirit? Scripture says that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. Have you grieved him to the point where he's not helping you anymore? If you are, if that has happened in your life, drop to your knees and beg for him to come back, because he's everything. There is nothing better that God has given us than the Holy Spirit. He is the mind of God. He is the Spirit of Christ. He is the Counselor of Truth. He is everything. You can't pray correctly without the Holy Spirit. The Scripture says that clearly. It says the Spirit helps us to pray because we don't know what to pray for. He cries out, Abba, Father. He's the one who makes you see God for the first time, not only as God, but as Father. Abba, Father. That's what the Spirit does in you. He's the one that makes you know that you're saved. When you're worried about your salvation, am I going to heaven or hell? If you're thinking that, you probably don't have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the deposit guaranteeing what is to come. He's the seal in our lives that says, you're mine forever and ever and ever. And you'll never doubt your salvation again with the Holy Spirit. I promise. It's one of the biggest marks to me of knowing that you have the Holy Spirit. It gives you discernment. The Scripture, my first point, knowing the Scripture, the Holy Spirit gives you discernment so you can understand the Scripture. Without it, you're going to be legalistic or you're going to get on the faith healing side and be weird. Without the Holy Spirit, He discerns things correctly. He tells you exactly how it works together. If not, you read in Joshua and you see that he killed women and children and you're like, what in the world? But with the Holy Spirit, you start to understand who this God is. That He created them and He can take them. And it sits right with you. When He says, I gotta stop. Be filled with the Spirit. You want to walk with God? Let Him be in you. And the Spirit reveals all things. And He reminds you of everything Jesus said. What a gift. My sermon today, that was just my introduction. My sermon today, I'm not going to talk long, but I want to break down these four points and preach on. So today we'll be knowing the Scripture. And I'm going to keep it short. But the first point in my four points is knowing the Scripture. And we've been talking about it a little bit already, but how many of you know that this is a powerful gift that God gave us? The God of heaven and earth created, breathed this into existence. Listen, I ought to be stunned just walking around with this book in my hand. That the God, like you said, Jack, earlier, the God of heaven and earth wrote this for me. And I get to read it every day. We've got to get our all back. That's amazing. It's written by God. Has the power to transform your life. And not just your life, but the people around you's life and your children's children's life. When the Scriptures get into your life, you will change. You will change and you will teach your children to change. You could move the whole trajectory of your family's life by knowing the Scriptures. Let's read 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. This is Paul's charge to Timothy. He's encouraging him to be the man that God called him to be. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise. Listen to this. Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. All Scripture is God's word. He breathed this into existence. Even the genealogy. How many times have you read the genealogies and thought, what is this doing in here? There's a lesson in it. That's exciting to learn. As you keep walking with God, you start finding new things, and then something will pop up in a place that you've read 10 times and never saw it before. All Scripture is God-breathed. That means it's sovereign, authoritative, infallible. It's perfect. It's perfect, the Word is. It's useful for teaching, correcting, training, for every good work. It is God's intention that we read this every single day so that we are able to walk with Him every single day. Again, Pastor Murphy taught a great, great sermon on this being the last will and testament of God. This is God's will for your life. A couple weeks ago when I was talking, I said about prayer. I said, you know, we talk to God a lot in prayer. But this is often the way that God responds to us. This is Him talking back to us. And again, we have this sitting in our homes, probably multiple of them. It's amazing. All scripture is God-breathed. I was thinking about in Genesis how God breathed life into Adam, the scripture says. That's the way he did it, was he breathed life into him. And then I thought about him breathing the scriptures. All scriptures, God-breathed. So to me, that means I can read this and life is going to come into me, just like it came into Adam. These words are life, and they give us life. The Word is Christ. Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Him. And this is somewhat of a mystery. Let's turn to read John 1, 1 through 5, and then we'll read verse 14. And I know I'm probably not teaching anything here you haven't heard, but I want you to be reminded of how important it is to read the Word. It's more than important. It's a necessity. John 1, Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made, and without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Now let's skip over to verse 14. It says, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father full of grace and truth. Jesus is the Word, and the Word is Jesus, wrapped in flesh. In the beginning was the Word. Again, the same God who created with a Word the whole world is the same God who has given us this Word that we get to read and try to get to know Him, to live with Him. When you are reading this, you need to understand, again, this is a mystery, but when you're reading the Word of God, you're bringing Jesus Christ into your mind and into your spirit and into your soul. This is not just head knowledge. If it is, it becomes nothing. It has to make it from the head to the heart. But as you read this, you're ingesting Christ into your life. And to think, last week, I remember I specifically sat down in the morning and I had my Bible there. And I typically read the Bible every morning. But that morning there was a video on YouTube. And I watched a YouTube video. And my whole morning was shot and I had to go to work. But I was just thinking about how pathetic that is, that I have the living Word of God that has already transformed my life in so many ways. And I would watch a video about the UFC rather than read the Word of God. But how many of you don't touch your Bible? How many of you just let it sit there and say, I'll get it another day. I'll get it another day. The whole reason you exist on this planet is because He breathed life into you. And what He's saying is, I've got this Word I want you to read so you can know Me. And it'll make your life easier, and I will get to know you better, and we can relate finally without any hindrance. Just read it. And we just don't have time. I don't. What a gift He's given us in the Word of God. It is Jesus Christ wrapped in flesh. He is the Word. Turn with me to Hebrews 4. Y'all still with me? Alrighty. I'm not much longer. I'm skipping a bunch of stuff so we can get to you here. But Hebrews 4. One of the most powerful scriptures in the Bible. Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitude of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. The Word. The Word is alive. Have you experienced that? That it is alive? I remember when I first came here and I heard that verse, I thought, what a weird concept. What do you mean it's alive? And then I started reading and realized it is alive. Lost people will never understand this. They'll never get it. The Word of God is alive in us. The Scripture says it goes out and finds its mark and does its work, and it never returns void back to God. The Word of God is active, alive, and moving all the time. How many of you have read the same verse 100 times and you read it one time and you're like, I've never seen that before? It's alive and it moves, I believe, and changes without us even knowing it hardly. I always think for some reason that it's like when Jesus fed the 5,000. The Scripture says the disciples just kept passing out the fish. Remember, there was only a few pieces, right? And he fed 5,000 with it, and they just kept passing it out. And I believe that they didn't realize that they had just fed 5,000 until it was all done. And then they turn around and were like, what in the world? What in the world? Well, I feel like that's with the Scripture sometimes. I think sometimes our minds block from certain Scriptures, or maybe we just didn't see it, whatever. This is Brantley, not the Word of God. But it is alive and it is active in our life. Two people can read the same Scripture and have two totally different meanings and both be right. You know that according to where your walk is with God and what you need in your life right then, it will have two different meanings. That's alive and it's active. And it's doing something in us. That's why when you scatter the seed, which is the Word, and you get it into somebody else's life, you don't know what route it's going to take because the Holy Spirit goes with it and starts going to work on it. But in order to give that Word to somebody, you got to know it. And you got to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But it is alive and active. It's a sword. It's sharp. And it cuts. And it judges you. How many of you want to be judged by the Scripture? You should want to. You should want to be judged by the Scripture. Better than any other judge. Let him get in there and judge you. How many of you have been judged by the Bible before? It's good for me to talk about this because I think a lot of people don't even think of the Bible like that. Think about it next time you're reading. Am I being judged? And if you are, it's a good thing. Because he loves you. And that means he's dealing with you. I remember many times reading Scripture and being judged by it. And being down about it. Being frustrated that I wasn't measuring up. But I needed it. I needed God to show me who I was in the Scriptures. It judges the thoughts and attitude of the mind? No. Of the heart. Of the heart. It divides soul and spirit. It's perfect in what it does. I've taught this many times, but it's like surgical in the way that it can go in there and remove things from you that don't need to be in there. It can flush out the infection that you've had in your life. The Word of God to me is a cleansing agent. It will clean you if you read it enough and walk it out. Remember, it can't stay in here. Okay? It has to go all the way in. You have to let it go all the way. We have to get the Word of God in us. It's necessity to be able to walk with Him every day. I want to encourage you to read as much as you can read. There's no boundary in it. I'm not going to say an hour or 10 minutes in the morning. One of the best investments you could make in your life is sitting down and reading the Bible. Just by yourself, with family, whatever you want to do. Get it in you. Get it in you. Let it just get in you. Like I said a couple weeks ago, I love Piper's thing, swim in the Bible. Swim in it. Let it envelop you. And watch how it changes your life. The Word of God has changed my life in so many ways. And when I was writing the sermon, I just went on and on. I thought about it, and this will be very quick, and I'm going to be done. But I thought about it, changed. The Word of God changed how I worked, like for a living. I didn't have any idea how it was to work. I didn't know what it meant to have a good work ethic. And started reading the Scriptures and seeing, in everything you do, do it as unto the Lord. That changes the way that you want to work when you think, He's watching me all the time. Even when boss man isn't there, God is watching me. I have to do what's right. The other Scripture was, faithful with another's will be given your own. I love that Scripture, and I bought that Scripture. I bought it. And I lived it, and I started looking at my boss, and I said, if I be faithful with his, I will get my own. And I did. The Word of God changed the way I worked. It changed the way I loved my wife. I had no idea how to be a husband. None. I was lost as can be. There's people in this church that will tell you that I was. I had no idea how to love Lee. The Word of God, Ephesians 5 in particular, to love your wife like Christ loved. To lay your life down for, to wash her with the Word, and to present her back to yourself as a radiant church, to cleanse her from any blemish or wrinkle, to make her beautiful, to make her beautiful. That all came from the Word. And I took that in my life and turned around and gave it to her, and Lee did the same thing in response to what wives are supposed to do. The Word of God changes the trajectory of your life. How I fathered my son, how I had learned how to do that. I did not know how to do that, to be a good father. And the Word of God taught me that. We have been given a great gift. Don't let it just sit there. Use it. Get into it. In getting into it, you're getting into Him. And you can relate to Him and know Him. Amen? Amen. Will y'all stand with me? Let's pray. Tell you what, I'll go ahead and pray for the meal too, so we can just get started. I love you guys. Thanks for letting me share this morning. What a great God we serve. Yeah, I'm going to pray for you. Yeah. Father, we thank you so much for your Word, for your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, Father. Lord, I want to start off by lifting up Meg's sister, Haley, to you, Lord. You are the great healer. You see into her body and into her mind. You know exactly what's going on. More than anybody else, more than the doctors, you understand. Because you created her, Father. And you saw this day. And you knew on this day that your church would be lifting her up in prayer. So here we are, Lord, asking you to heal her body, to heal her mind, Father, to stop the blood clot in her brain, or the bleeding of the brain, Father, whatever it is, I pray that you heal her right now as we pray. And I pray, Father, as she comes out, she'll give you the glory, that her life will be changed, and she'll know you have healed, you've healed her. And then she'll devote her life to you. Help Haley this morning. Lord, we love you again, and I just want to thank you for your Word. I thank you for the men who lost their lives bringing this Word down to us. The many, many great men and women of God that kept this alive for us, so that we could have it, Father. I pray that you let us treasure it and see it as sovereign and perfect. And you give us a great hunger for your Word. I pray that you bless your people today. I pray that you bless the meal that's set before us. Let us fellowship in you. And we just love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Yeah.